the beginning of the change? I stayed unsettled and perplexed for 3 months. Even when I was asleep, my mind was overwhelmed by doubts and fears about myself regarding the companions whose lives I was researching. I found many astonishing contradictions in their behavior, because throughout my life I had received an education based on the respect and the veneration of those sages who would hurt anybody that spoke badly about them or disrespected them in their absence, even if they were dead. I had read once in Hayat al-Haywan al-Kubra by al-Damiri (1) there was a man riding in a caravan with his friend, and during the journey he kept insulting Umar, and his friend tried to prevent him from doing so. When he was in the toilet, a black snake bit him, and he died immediately. When they dug his grave, they found a black snake inside it, they dug another one, and the same thing happened. Every time they dug a new grave, they found a snake inside it. Then a learned man told them, "Bury him any way you wish, even if you dig the whole earth, you will find a black snake. This is because Allah wants to chastise him in this life before the hereafter, for insulting our master Umar." Thus, while I was forcing myself through this difficult research, I felt fearful and confused, especially as I had learnt in Al-Zaytuna that the best caliphs were Abu Bakr al-Siddiq then Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Farooq, whom Allah will use to divide right from wrong, after that comes Uthman ibn Affan al-Nurayn, from whom the angels of the merciful felt shy, and after him comes Ali ibn Abi Talib, the gate to the city of knowledge. After these four come the remaining 6 of the 10 who were promised paradise, and they are Talha, Al-Zubair, Sa'd, Sa'id, Abdul Rahman, and Abu Ubaidah. After them come all the companions, and after we were recommended of the holy Quranic verse, we do not differentiate between any of his messengers as a premise on which we should base the assumption that we should not differentiate in our respect for all the companions. Because of that I feared for myself, and asked my Lord for forgiveness on many occasions, and indeed I wanted to leave the issues that made me doubtful about the companions of the Messenger of Allah, and then made me doubtful about my own religion. During that period, and throughout my conversations with a few learned people, I found many contradictions that could not be accepted by sensible people, and then they started to warn me that if I continued with my research about the companions, Allah would take His grace from me and finish me off. Their continuous stubbornness and their denial of whatever I said, coupled with my scientific mind and eagerness to reach the truth, forced me to resume the research, because I felt an inner force urging me to do so. A dialogue with a scholar. I said to one of our scholars, "When Marviyar killed the innocent, and disgraced the honorable, you judge him as being an interpreter of Islam who got it wrong, and therefore has won reward. When Yazid killed the descendants of the Messenger and authorized the sacking of Al-Madina al-Munawwara by his army, you judge him as an interpreter of Islam who got it wrong, and therefore has won reward. Some of you even said about him that Al-Hussein was killed by the sword of his grandfather. Why should I not then interpret Islam through this study, which is forcing me to doubt the intentions of the companions and to blow the cover of some of them, which would not be equated with killings done by Marviyar and Yazid of the Prophet's family? If I am right, I deserve 2 rewards, and if I am wrong, I would have only 1 reward. However, my criticism of the companions is not for the sake of insulting them or cursing them, but it is a means through which I hope to reach the truth. Who is the right group, and who is the wrong group? This is my duty and the duty of each Muslim, and Allah, praise be to Him, knows what is inside ourselves." The scholar then answered me, "O my son, Ishad, the interpretation of Islamic religion has not been allowed for some time." I asked, "Who disallowed it?" He said, "The 4 Imams." I said liberally, "Thanks be to Allah. Since neither Allah disallowed it, nor His Messenger or the rightly guided caliphs, whom we are ordered to follow, then there are no restrictions on me to interpret Islam, as they did." He said, "You may not interpret Islam unless you know 17 disciplines, among them, tafsir, commentary on the Holy Quran, linguistics, grammar, sarf, morphology, rhetoric, hadiths, prophetic traditions, history and others." I interjected by saying, My ijtihad is not to show the people the rules of the Quran and the Prophet's tradition, or to be a religious leader of a new creed. Nay, all that I want to know is who is right and who is wrong. For example, to know whether Imam Ali was right or Marviyar, I do not need to master 17 disciplines. All I need to do is to study the life and works of each one of them to know the truth. He said, why do you want to know all that? This is a people that have passed away, they shall have what they earned and you shall have what you earn, and you shall not be called upon to answer for what they did. Holy Quran 2-134. I asked, do you read Tusalun, the Arabic word for questioned, with Dhamma, the vowel point upon the letter Ta, or with Tasaloon with Fata, the vowel, point A? He said, Tusalun, with Dhamma. I said, thanks be to Allah, if it was with Fata, then there would be no research. As it is written with Dhamma, then it means that Allah, praise be to him, will not make us accountable for what they have done. Similarly, he, the Most High, said, each soul is pledged to whatever it has earned. Holy Quran 74:38. Also he said, there is nothing for man except what he has strived for. Holy Quran 53:39. And the Holy Quran urged us to know about the earlier nations, and to learn lessons from their histories. Also, Allah told us about the pharaohs, Haman, Namrud, Karun, and about the early prophets and their nations, not for the sake of pleasure, but to show us what is right and what is wrong. As for your question as to why I want to know all that, it is important for me to know all that. Firstly, to know who is the friend of Allah so that I may befriend him, and to know who is the enemy of Allah, so that I may oppose him, and that is what the Quran asked me, or indeed, ordered me to do. Secondly, it is important for me to know how I should worship Allah and draw near to him by obeying his commands, in the way he, the Majesty, wants them to be, not as Malik or Abu Hanifa or any other interpreter of Islam wants them to be. I found that Malik does not prefer the saying of in the name of Allah the most merciful and the most compassionate during the prayers, whereas Abu Hanifa considers it a must. Others say that the prayers are not valid without them. Because prayers are a pillar of Islam, if accepted other deeds would be accepted, but if they were rejected, other deeds would be rejected. Therefore, I do not want my prayers to be invalid. The Shiites say that during the ablution we must rub our feet with wet hands, whereas the Sunnis say that we must wash them. But when we read the Holy Quran we find rub your hands and feet, which is clear about the rubbing. So how do you expect any sensible Muslim to accept this and reject the other without research and analysis? He said, you can take what you like from each creed, because all of them are Islamic creeds, and all of them came from the Messenger of Allah. I said, I am afraid that I may become one of those about whom Allah said, have you then considered him who takes his low desire for his God and Allah has made him having knowledge and has set a seal upon his ear and his heart and put a covering upon his eye? Who can then guide him after Allah? Will you not then be mindful? Holy Quran 45:23. Sir, I do not think that all the four Islamic religious schools, madhahib, are correct, as long as one of them allows something while the other forbids it. And it does not seem logical for one thing to be allowed and forbidden simultaneously. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, did not question the rules of the Holy Quran because they are revelation. And if it were from any other than Allah, they would have found in it many a discrepancy. Holy Quran 4:82. Because of the vast differences between the four religious Islamic schools, they cannot be from Allah or from his Messenger, for the Messenger did not contradict the Holy Quran. When the scholarly sheikh found my argument logical and sound, he said, I advise you, for the sake of Allah, that no matter how doubtful you may be, do not doubt the rightly guided caliphs, because they are the four pillars of Islam. If one of them collapses, the whole building will collapse. I said, God forbid, sir, but what about the Messenger of Allah if those people were the pillars of Islam? He said, the Messenger of Allah, is that building he is the whole of Islam. I smiled when I heard his analysis, and said, I ask Allah for forgiveness, yet again. Sir, you are saying, indirectly, that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, would not be able to stand without the support of those four, whereas Allah, the Most High, says, He it is who sent his messenger with guidance and a true religion, that he may make it prevail over all the religions, and Allah is enough for a witness. Holy Quran 48:28. He sent Muhammad with the message and did not involve any of the other four, or anybody else, and Allah said with regard to this, We have sent among you a messenger from among you who recites to you our communications and purifies you and teaches you the book and the wisdom and teaches you that which you did not know. Holy Quran 2-151. He said, That is what we have learned from our religious leaders and teachers, and we did not argue about what they taught us, as you the new generation do today. You doubt everything, even the religion itself. This is one sign of the nearness of the hour, that is the day of judgment, and the Messenger of Allah said, The hour will come as a result of the evil in people. I said, Sir, why all this exaggeration? God forbid if I doubt the religion, I believe in Allah, who is unique and has no partner. I believe in his angels, books and messengers. I believe in our Master Muhammad as his servant and messenger, and that he is the best of all the prophets and the last of the messengers, and that I am one of the Muslims. So how could you accuse me of all that? He said, I accuse you of more than that, because you doubt our masters Abu Bakr and Umar, and the Holy Prophet said, If the faith of my nation and the belief of Abu Bakr were put on a balance, the faith of Abu Bakr would have weighed heavier. The Holy Prophet also said in honor of Umar, I was shown my nation and each one of them was wearing a shirt that came to the chest, and I was shown Umar and he was pulling his shirt. They said, O Messenger of Allah! How do you interpret this? He said, The religion. And you come today, in the 14th century, Hijri, and doubt the righteousness of the companions and especially Abu Bakr and Umar. Don't you know that the people of Iraq are the people of disunity, blasphemy and hypocrisy? What could I say to this man who claimed knowledge and scholarship, and who became so arrogant that he changed a well-structured dialogue into a disordered talk full of lies and propaganda? He said it in front of people who admired him, and I noticed that their faces lit up with excitement and evil. I quickly went home and brought back two books, Al-Mawatta of Imam Malik and the Sahih of Al-Bukhari. Then said, Sir, what made me doubt Abu Bakr was the Messenger of Allah himself. I opened Al-Mawatta and read, He said to the martyrs of Uhud, Those, I bear witness against. Abu Bakr then said, O Messenger of Allah, are we not their brothers? Did we not become Muslims as they did? Did we not fight as they did? The messenger replied, Yes, but I do not know what you are going to do after me. On hearing that, Abu Bakr cried bitterly and said, We are going to alter many things after your departure. After that I opened the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and read, Once Umar ibn al-Khattab came to Hafsa and found with her Asma bint Umayz. When he saw her, he asked, Who is she? Hafsa answered, Asma bint Umayz. Umar said, Is she that Ethiopian? Asma replied, Yes, he said, We emigrated, that is to say from Mecca to Medina, before you, so we are more entitled to the Messenger of Allah than you. She became very angry, then she said, No, by Allah, you were with the Messenger of Allah, who fed your hungry people and advised